Blog Talk Radio.
To another exciting edition of Marketing Pulpit International New York Edition with yours truly, Dennis D. Shipman, on the mic. 10:30 a.m. and 43 degrees sunny here in Brooklyn, New York. Hope you had a great weekend. I did. I'm still feeling somewhat weak from what I'm doing with myself in anticipation of a gigantic milestone in my life in February. So I'm still feeling the effects of a new diet that I'm trying. I've been on it for 5 weeks. This is the fifth week now. And I've dropped 20 pounds. I was at the doctor's the other day getting a prep for a colonoscopy. I'm at that age where I need to have one. And actually, I have it scheduled for Wednesday, and I'm waiting for transportation to get back to me because I will be sedated for the procedure. Thanksgiving week, this week, I haven't been invited anywhere, and I have no plans to go anywhere, which is unusual. I can't remember. Excuse me, the last time I wasn't invited anywhere for Thanksgiving, but I wasn't. And you know what? I'm not stressing. I just want to stay here, home, relax, try to catch up with my kid, see if I can watch some football. I don't think, I think the Lions are playing. That's not my team, so probably turn on Netflix and catch up with whatever they're showing, and just relax. I mean, basically, I've just been meditating, relaxing, and focusing on the impending new year, and hope you have as well. At any rate, I don't know what happened with Baltimore. I tell you, I excuse me. I don't see them in the running, and this is not a sports show, but Baltimore, as you may well imagine, is my team. Philly lost yesterday, and I did watch that game, and some of the Steelers against, I believe it was Carolina, decent game. So I watched some college ball, which is unusual for me, which means the game is growing on me even more. I notice how the years have passed. I have been more and more and more drawn to football. I used to like everything, basketball and even baseball, definitely soccer. But for some reason, I can't wait for football. And, I'm glad that we have a few more months of it. A few more games before February and the Super Bowl. I guess by that time, I will have known what happened to Baltimore. Excuse me, I have this respiratory thing going on, and it's been kicking in full time over the last, I would say, a week or two, and I know it has a lot to do with the diet issue. But I'm committed to doing the do. So we're still in the midst of the Adam Schiff has basically completed his work. A lot of people are dissatisfied with the rather truncated schedule. But when you have an administration that's determined to be obstructive, I think, and you have the courts that are going to drag their feet, they're not going to move fast, deliberately. I mean, it's intentional. There's no reason for, you know, and I know that there are a lot of these judges, they have 100 assistants that write these long, rambling opinions. And so when you have all these factors in play, it conspires against a quick resolution. Now, you know, everyone says that they're not going to, by them, the Senate is, we don't know what the Senate's going to do. We know that they've allowed Trump so much latitude that now it is difficult to walk back the amount of power he has amassed. So that's a fact. And that's why he had Lindsey Graham over the weekend walk away from a vet who said that we both took oaths of office and that sort of thing. And Lindsey's not trying to hear it, mainly because he comes from a state, South Carolina, where opposition to Trump is disallowed. It is that simple. I mean, I don't know why people overanalyze. Trump's election was in direct response to a black man holding that office successfully for two terms. And it is not something that the vast majority of white folks in this country want to see. It is that simple. And if you think that, you know, you have white friends and that they, you know, they're liberal or progressive in their thinking on this issue, you know, I can guarantee you, man, you don't know a lot about a lot, because a lot of these people are going to go into the booth and vote for Trump. I can guarantee it. There is absolutely no doubt in my mind. So, you know, we were talking on social media this morning, and primarily the three states that the Democrats, if they were smart, and you do have a lot of very smart Democrats, and strategists, pundits, tacticians, are the states that he took in the 2016 election, which is Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and I'm sorry, this office is really kicking my tail, and you have to forgive me, and Michigan. So those are the three states that we ought to be concerned, because the polling has, there is recent polling from these states, and they say he still holds not a comfortable, you know, but a narrow lead in these states, and it's outside the margin of error. So, you know, you have to be concerned, and when you have weak candidates like Biden and, you know, the rest of the ilk, and I, you know, I understand both sides of the equation. I understand all arguments that, you know, we can't always wait and look for the charismatic candidate. I understand that. But we need someone, and it's not Bloomberg, so I don't even know why he jumped his ass in there. Excuse my French. But I think of all the people that have recently announced, I think the former governor of Massachusetts, Laval Patrick, stands the best chance. You know, he's black, he's charismatic, kind of light on the voice, but you know, he's you know, he's very knowledgeable, and anyone that gives Barack Obama advice is someone that I'm looking at closely, and he was one of Obama's closest advisors. You know, and obviously it wasn't something that was well known, but he, you know, Obama leaned on him from time to time, you know, because he was the chief executive, and, you know, the states mirror the country, obviously. So here he was, the chief executive of a predominantly white state, and was successful. I mean, I think he, you know, he held that position for a few terms. So Deval Patrick is someone that I can look at seriously. I think he jumped in way too late. I thought he was going to jump in a lot sooner. The senators that are in the race already, I think they should stay in the Senate. We need African-American senators and Democratic senators even more. I don't think it's Cory Booker's time, obviously. Kamala Harris, it's not her time. Amy Klobuchar, I think she's too desperate. She strikes me as being so desperate, strident. I'm the only one. I can. I know I can. And this sort of thing. And it's a turn off. Pete Buttigieg, who has been rising in the polls, is not going to cut the mustard for black conservative voters. The older black electorate who comprises the backbone of the Democratic Party is not going to vote for a gay white man. It is that simple. Call it homophobia, whatever you want. I don't really care. They're not going to do it. They believe in quote-unquote traditional values, and they're not going to allow this guy anywhere near the White House. So, and as for the rest of them, they're polling in the single digits, so it makes no sense to even discuss it. But, you know, you got two billionaires in the race, and then you only have one or two other viable candidates, as far as I'm concerned, and the one viable. I mean, if you're looking at this objectively, I mean, you know, from a, who can actually come out and beat Donald Trump? The only problem that I see with a Deval Patrick is that Trump was in response to a black man being elected twice. So I think if we were to go into that direction, I think that would prompt the even greater back. I don't know how you could get an even greater backlash, though. No. So it'll be interesting to see. But Biden has struck many as being inept, and that's why, you know, Obama has basically set this one out on the sidelines and didn't endorse. Because he knows that, you know, Biden is not ready for prime time. I mean, he's an old school liberal, which means, that benign sort of racism that you can sort of tolerate, because it is not coming from, you know, a place where, you know, people are being, or he is being mean-spirited. It's more ignorance than anything. So, it's shaping up to be an interesting contest. I just want to see what shakes out of this. The thing that's annoying me, though, is all these egos. I mean, these people have to know that they're not going, their candidacy is not going anywhere. You have, I like Warren too, don't get it twisted. I think Warren and Deval Patrick, they're both from the same area. They're both from the same state, as a matter of fact, Massachusetts. So, you know, I think that would be an interesting not matchup, but interesting partnership. You know, I don't know who would be on the top, but I'm sure they're both running for president, not running for vice president. So, Warren maybe as president and Patrick as vice president. They're saying that her socialist agenda would be something that Trump could eat alive. I don't know. These are very smart people. And I think if they got the big data correct, I'm talking about the people behind the scenes, I think that we'd only have to worry about those three states, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania. And with the major urban centers in those states, I think that if we could turn out, and this is what happened in 2016. You have all these Negroes sitting up in the barbershop and in the beauty salon talking about who they want to vote for. You know, I was in one. You know, I no longer go, not because of that incident, because of you know, I no longer live in that particular area, but I was in there, and, you know, brother comes in, you know, older, you know, around my age, though. I'm not saying he was old, you know, I'm saying maybe he had me by 3, 4, maybe 5 years, you know, ignorant, talking about first he was in the Air Force for a number of years, and you know, I guess another vet was in there. I didn't weigh in because I already understood where he's coming from, you know, as soon as he opened his mouth. But he said, yeah, well, what kind of clearance did you have? That's not typically a question that you would ask someone, but the response that he gave really told me all I needed to know. Oh, I had a basic clearance, huh? So, you know, that showed me right there that, you know, he either was lying or didn't know what he's talking about, because there's no such thing as a quote-unquote basic clearance. You know, in terms of, you know, clearances, security clearances, they're, you know, to be in the military, you have to have a secret clearance. That isn't the bottom clearance, though. The bottom clearance is classified. But you can't get a job in the military with a classified clearance, I believe, except for cook. I believe. I'm not even certain about that. But I believe most branches require you to have at least a secret clearance. And then, you know, of course, there's a top secret and, you know, a number of classifications above that that are themselves classified. So, you know, where you're looking at information that only, you know, one or two people in an entire country, you know, is privy to. So, you know, he goes on about that he doesn't believe the, you know, the Russian stuff and blah, blah, and I, you know, I just couldn't believe the guy was just ignorant. But you have a lot of African-American men that buy into Trump's rhetoric for whatever reason. I don't know why. I haven't sat here and did any analysis on what delusion these people are subscribing to. But they do. I mean, it is quite discouraging, because black women by 70%. And, you know, I have my issues with sisters. I'm not going to sit up here and lie. But they tried to say, pull our cojones out of the fire. Trust me, they voted overwhelmingly for Hillary Rodham Clinton by 70%. And you had 14% of black men that went for Trump, and then you had a low turnout overall of African Americans who formed, again, especially older ones, who formed the base phone of the Democratic Party. So, so Trump was able to eke out a narrow victory in these states that gave him the Electoral College, not the popular vote. And we've seen a similar phenomena in Florida, Gore and Bush. Bush was, well, Gore, we all believe, and, you know, it's probably true that had Gore not conceded, there's a good chance, but then the Supreme Court threw it to Bush anyway. I don't know how the Supreme Court even bothers to weigh in on an election. But they did, and they threw the election. It's a major Supreme Court case, Gore versus Bush, to Bush. Told Florida to shut down the recount and declare Bush the winner. And Florida promptly did. And so we got an 8-year nightmare. Nothing on par with what we have going on now. I mean, Bush was incompetent, but he wasn't mean. This guy is both incompetent and mean. He doesn't listen to anybody. That's why he constantly, you know, causes fires wherever he goes, you know, internecine battles, you know. One with the, that resulted over the weekend in the defense secretary firing the Navy secretary. Yep, demanded his resignation because apparently he didn't agree with Trump that Gallagher, chief petty officer, who allegedly killed a non-combatant and posed with the corpse, should escape unscathed with his rank and trident intact. And Trump didn't agree, and had Esprey, you know, fire the Navy secretary. So is this type of, you know, open rebellion against Trump's disdain for the rule of law that I think is going to be his undoing, and I really do. I mean, he's already crossed so many lines that there are literally no more lines to cross. I mean, really. We all suspect the final one will be when he loses in 2020, and that's no guarantee. But let's just assume, for the sake of assumption, that he is defeated, and he refused to leave office, saying it was a hoax. He doesn't agree with the results and this sort of thing. It was a coup d'etat. So, constitutional crisis. We're already in one. We've been in one for the last close to 24 months. So how this is going to end, no one knows. We really don't. And it's fascinating. I mean, if you look at it from a strictly intellectual perspective, geopolitical, political science, I mean, you could name any number of disciplines through which you could view this catastrophe. And, you know, the data is, I mean, you could literally write a dissertation. It's just amazing, you know, what, I mean, it's just incredible. At any rate, my voice doesn't want to cooperate, and so I'm going to have to, still got 4 minutes to go. I don't know if my outro is 4 minutes. Let's just look and see if I can even see the screen. Like I said, with the diet, it's you know, it's causing a little distress, a little discomfort, but I think I can make it through. I'm just trying to see how long this outro is. No, it's not long enough. Now it is. So I'm going to have to bid you adieu. Have a great holiday weekend. Don't discuss politics at dinner table or at all. And we'll see you next Monday. Have a blessed holiday weekend.